Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 15. The Bible says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning we give you thanks for this another Sunday and this another opportunity to gather together around the Scriptures, the precious Word of God. Now, Father, today I pray your blessings upon not only as we've read the Word, but now the preaching of it. We just pray today, Heavenly Father, that our vision might be improved in a great way today, that we might be more focused on things that have more value. And Father, help us to understand what rich resources we have. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we that know the Lord, and we're able to actually look at things that are not seen by the naked eye. So Father, now bless today and meet needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this verse seems like a great big old paradox, doesn't it? In other words, how can you look at things which you cannot see? You know, that's a paradox if you ever find one written in Scripture. How can you see something you can't see? In other words, how can you see something that you actually do not have the ability to view with the naked eye? How is that possible? Now, I will say this as we get started today. Salvation is an eye-opening experience. And due to the fact that it's an eye-opening experience, it's amazing how we wake up on the morn of salvation, being able to see more clearly than ever before. Being able to see things we couldn't see before. Being able to look at things that our physical eyes were unable to be able to focus upon. But now, after that wonderful dawning of that new day, and I might add spring day of salvation, we're able now to look upon that which previously we could not see. I want to divide my message today in just a simple twofold way. Give two points to it, basically. First of all, notice this. The things seen were not to look at. Simple point. The things seen we're not to look at. Now, of course, that doesn't seem like very good advice because the things seen we need to look at. If we don't look at it, we may find ourselves, we may wind up dead. You know, we better be careful driving down the road. We better have our eyes out looking around us and knowing about the traffic and aware of what lane we're in and practicing situation awareness. In other words, we need to be looking around. We all get that. We understand that. But there's something here that goes beyond that thought. We look at the things which are seen. And I'm talking now not about the material things. I'm not talking about the physical per se. We look at the things that we see in terms of this life. And the things involved in this life, we view them in somewhat of a casual way. And actually, when you read how this reads, it has the thought where it says, and again now, look what it said, while we look not at the things which are seen. Interesting, isn't it? Now, what is Paul meaning by that? In other words, it's like we're looking at things in a casual way as if they're not worth looking at. That's thought. As if they're not worth looking at. I'll illustrate it like this. Let's say you take a vacation. Let's say you check into a motel room. Let's say when you first get there, you're really concerned about how nice the room is. Cleanliness. It means a lot at that point of time that there's a light bulb, you know, in the lamp. And it means a lot at that point of time that the bathroom is clean and everything is in order. But now, fast forward to the day you leave that motel room. At that point of time, it doesn't mean nearly as much. The fact that the curtains need to be changed. They need a new light bulb. They need to paint the bathroom. The reason why your focus is different is because you're getting ready to leave that room. It's no longer that significant. You know, we need to look at temporal things with somewhat of a look of indifference, knowing that it will soon be over. That's how we need to view things in this life. We need to view earthly things as not substantial, but as transient, as passing. We need to view earthly things as a child views a toy. It's like the excitement that a child has when they get that new toy. But since they're a child, it doesn't take them long before they would discard that toy, and it doesn't mean nearly as much once they've had it a few hours. We need to pay attention to the things that really mean something and that really matter. Here's a good point. You know, when Paul was in prison, and a guy by the name of Onesimus visited him. And Onesimus, of course, was led to the Lord and had robbed his master. Read the little book of Philemon. He comes to Rome and Paul meets him. And, of course, Paul rejoices and writes back and tells Philemon to treat him like a brother beloved, because Onesimus has gotten right with God. That's an interesting name, isn't it? Onesimus. But the thing about Paul now, all right, when he begins to write, when he talks about what went on in that prison, he doesn't go in any detail. He doesn't, you don't see him moaning and groaning about the fact of being in the stockade of all of the negative things about the prison, but he did this though. He highlighted the fact of Onesimus though. He highlighted the positive. He made note of the positive. He didn't see the surroundings of the prison, but he saw the blessing of what God had done in a person's life. That's what I'm talking about. In fact, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat." Maybe that's a verse right there, Brother Bruce, maybe. Maybe according to that verse, we don't even need to have a cookbook. Take no thought for what you should eat. You reckon it means that? All right, note something else. Or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Based upon this verse, there's no need to go out and buy yourself an Easter outfit, is there? Or new clothes? Says, take no thought for what you shall put on. Now, do y'all see where I'm going with this? It says, note this, is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Now, the Bible is not saying that it's not important for us to manage, be good custodians, clean ourselves up, buy new clothes, eat healthy food, but the Bible is saying we need to put a priority on things that mean more. We need to put a priority on eating the food from heaven, for example. We need to put a priority on wearing the garments of righteousness. We need to put a priority on things that will last, not things that'll pass away. You know, it's kind of hard not to look at things that we see today. When I'm driving down the road and riding through a city, let's say, and I see people scurrying around, walking up and down the sidewalks, and I see someone coming, walking down the sidewalk with blue hair or green hair, I have a hard time not looking. You know, some sights you cannot help but double down on as far as looking at. Now, let me illustrate it another way. Brother Calvin and Sister Joy, Brother Calvin's getting ready to take him a good nap, and I called out his name. I'm sorry, Brother Calvin. They like to visit. You know, when you go to call on people's names from the pulpit, that gets scary, doesn't it? But they like to visit with Bernie. And Brother Calvin has this way of always reminding me that I've got dirt on my truck. I need to wash my truck, or I've got rust on my bumper that I need to take care of. I have a verse for you, Brother Calvin. Look not at those things that are seen. I'll get ready to come to church every Sunday or before Wednesday. And Carol will come to me and she'll say, come here. She said, I need to fix the back of your hair. You know, basically, I don't really care what the back of my hair looks like. I can't see it. I'm more concerned with the front of my hair that I can see. When I'm walking down this aisle of this church, if you folks are looking at the back of my head, I don't care what you think. I can't see the back of my head. Sometimes I might be getting ready to leave the house and there's a hole in my sock or a hole in my t-shirt. And Carol will say to me, what if you get in a wreck? I'm going to tell you, if I got in the wreck, I'd have bigger concerns than that. You know, we're like Jonah. God said, dost thou well to be angry at the gourd? Jonah was under the gourd. It gave him shelter. And the worm came and ate the gourd. And the sun come beaming down on Jonah's head. And then he began to complain. And God said, dost thou well to be angry with the gourd? And then the verse reads, and he said, I do well to be angry unto death. Jonah said that. I do well to be angry unto death. You know, that's one of the most mysterious books I've ever read. You read the last chapter of that book and the last verse of that verse, the last verse of that chapter, and you find yourself scratching your head and wondering, did Jonah ever get straightened out? It leaves with a question mark in mind. You know, Jonah had bigger problems than that gourd. He got upset over the gourd, but he had greater problems than that gourd. And so do all of us here today. We have bigger problems than a gourd. We do. We, all of us today, stand on the brink of eternity. Every person watching this program today, every person hearing my voice, I can tell all of us today, including this preacher, we all stand on the brink of eternity. This life is quickly passing, and we're going to be in eternity before we know it. And oh, to God today that we take our minds and our eyes and our thoughts more off of earthly things and more on heavenly things, realizing this, it's only what's done for Christ that really ought to count. So we look here. We notice the things seen we're not to look at. But secondly today, the things unseen we're to look at. The things unseen we are to look at. We see the things that are not seen according to this verse. That's what it says. Look at it again. Verse 18. We look not at things which are seen. but at the things which are not seen. That is so very interesting. You know, we that are saved not only see things that are not seen, but we know things that are not known. We hear things that are not heard. And we enjoy life that is not lived. Do I need to explain that? We see things the world doesn't see. We hear things the world doesn't hear. We live a life the world doesn't live. We're on different turf. Thank God we're a new breed of people. We've been changed. We've been saved. We're no longer going to be the same. Anytime the Christian tries to think we can resort back to being the way we were before we met the Master, we've got another thought coming. It no longer works that way. God lets us know in a heartbeat whose property we are now. And I'm glad He does. We live on different turf. Our sights are on higher ground. We see far more than the physical eye sees. We see the unseeable. The unseeable. And that helps us to not to faint, to lose heart. Because we see the unseeable. Look at verse 16. Why do you think Paul would say, for this cause we faint not? Because we see the unseeable, we don't have to faint. We don't have to fret or faint. We don't have to lose heart. God's people are a distinguished bunch of people. We have a show and tell religion. A show and tell. We show people a life that's been changed, and we tell people a message they need to hear. We have a show and tell ministry. I heard about one time this school, this Christian school was in operation, and people were to illustrate, little students were to illustrate certain things about different religions. One student come walking in carrying a Star of David. And that student said, I'm Jewish. Another student came in carrying the crucifix and said, I'm a Catholic. This other student come walking in carrying a casserole and said, I'm a Baptist. You know, God's people have real sight. They have real substance. They have real secrets. We can see beyond our problems. I like the word secret. We have real secrets. Little kids used to whisper to one another in school. I can remember years ago, you know, I got a secret. They'd whisper that secret in your ear. And the secret didn't mean a lot because it was just a child's world thing. But it meant everything to that little child. I've got a secret. And then those kids would commit to not divulging that secret. They'd keep that secret. That's child's play, right? But you know, we that are saved tonight, or this morning, we can say, I've got a secret. I've got a secret many don't know about. I've got a secret so great that only a select few can understand it. I've got a secret. You've got a secret today. The people of God know what I'm talking about. We can see beyond our problems. This is not, the problems are not the end of it. There's more beyond. The problems is not a show. The problems for a child of God are not a showstopper. There's nothing in this life that has to take a child of God down. Not in the fullest way. Oh yes, we have aches and pains. Oh yes, we visit the doctors. Oh yes, we have our colonoscopies. You had yours lately? I'll tell you one thing, that's one of the best ways to get a good sleep. I wish I'd told that nurse, I mentioned this when I wish I'd told that old nurse this past week, how about give me a double dose? I didn't sleep that well the night before. I'd like to get 2 good solid hours of sleep. But we've got problems. But they don't stop us. We still go on rejoicing. We still go on looking up. We still go on knowing that we're supposed to have problems. You know, there's a lot of therapy in that statement. If we'd only get it in our heads we're supposed to have problems, we'd be better off in dealing with the problems. We're supposed to have them. When you have a dying body, how can you not have problems with that body? Keep on running to your doctor and I'll do the same. We'll keep on having our colonoscopies, our heart checks. We'll keep on doing everything the doctor tells us. But let's face the fact, eventually that doctor's advice isn't going to mean a whole lot. Because we're going to be checking out. I apologize, Dave, being so depressing on such a pretty morning. Shouldn't be like this, should it? Well, I'm not depressing. I'm positive. Because I'm telling you today, we see beyond our problems. If you take an old person out there that's never been saved, they had better enjoy this life all they possibly can, because this is as close to heaven as they'll ever get. You better have all the money you can, make all the money you can. You better have your yachts and have your motorcycles and your boats and all your pleasure. You better do it all. This is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. But in reality, that doesn't indicate closeness to heaven anyway. Because the Bible says, he that liveth in pleasure is dead while he liveth. Isn't that quite a verse? Those that live in pleasure are dead while they liveth. But we see beyond our problems. In spite of the trials and the tribulations and burdens, Paul is still able to say, we faint not. We faint not. The Christian can see something about self the world, to the most part, doesn't see. The Christian sees the world as it is. The world is under a curse of futility and pain and suffering and corruption and death. And we can see that. In fact, Paul puts it like this, Romans 8, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. At least, that's a good thought right there for politicians. Even creation is unified. You know, it says creation groaneth together in pain. Creation knows how to be unified, according to that. They groan together in pain. Then it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, Christians groan along with creation. We groan too. Have you grown lately? Some people have a sign on the back of their car, a sign on the bumper that says, have you hugged or kissed your dog today? An appropriate bumper sticker might be, have you grown today? It says we groan within ourselves. So whenever we groan and others hear us groan, others need to keep their mouths shut and let us groan, because, and I don't know of anybody that does that to me, we need to start telling people to mind their own business. If we want to groan, that's our business, and besides, we're being biblical. We're waiting for the adoption to wit. That's what the verse says. I'm groaning. When I groan, I'm groaning in hope. I'm groaning knowing that my groans will one day end. Because we're awaiting the adoption to wit. The redemption of our bodies. And there's one thing for sure, you'll never hear a person in a glorified body groaning. We see things the world doesn't see. We see the reality of life, the reality of death, and eternity. There's multiple ways of dying, for life is frail, isn't it? Our outward man perisheth, verse 16. We see more. We have more. Do you know that we have more? In fact, God's people have a treasure that is so precious and costly that most of the time we don't even realize it. We have this treasure, it's called treasure, this treasure in earthen vessels. We're earthen vessels, aren't we? Well, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I wonder what that could be. Well, I think I know what it is. That's talking about we have the Holy Spirit, don't we? We have the resource within of eternal life. The Holy Spirit's dwelling us. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. We see things the world doesn't see. We see why evil goes on. And we understand that. We know the fallen nature is behind it all. Have you ever seen a time, witnessed a time, lived in a time that the fallen nature of mankind has ever been on display as much as now? I know sin's always been around ever since Adam messed up. But it almost seems to me that in the last even year or so, it's almost like sin has doubled. The activities, the wickedness, the crudeness, the vileness. It's almost like so many people, you wonder if they even have a heart. How they can do what they do. We understand that, don't we? It's a fallen nature. This is why people can strap bombs on themselves and walk into city buses and kill people. This is the reason why the terrorists can go into shopping malls and blow away many people. This is why. It's that sinful nature, and that feeds the activity. The activity is fed by the nature. You could say the nature is the mothership. And the activity is fed by the mothership, the human nature. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. It says it all comes from within. That's why you can rehab everybody in every way possible. You can rehab the drunks. You can rehab the drug addicts. You can rehab people until you get tired of rehabbing. But until the heart gets rehabbed, they're still prone to go back into it again. The heart needs to get rehabbed. You see, the Bible says if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what people need. People today need the Lord. They need salvation. They need to be born again. And I don't care who it is, where you might be, everybody needs Christ. We see beyond earthly troubles. We have real sight. We have real substance. We have the treasure. We have real strength. We're given strength every day. And Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 25, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. We read in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We never hear an unbeliever testify about their problems and say they're light, because God's people have a different resource. Psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We have a real secret. Everything we face in life has meaning. There's a meaning. Nothing's out of control. Just a reminder, God didn't save us, and this may cause some of you folks to really wake up and make this statement. Do you know that God didn't save us just to make us happy? Did you know that? God didn't save us just to make us happy. He didn't save us simply to bless us. But he sure does enough of that, doesn't he? He didn't save us just to make us happy. He didn't save us just to bless us. He saved us to make us like Jesus. That's his eternal purpose. Those preachers that preach this doctrine of get saved and you'll be blessed, or get saved and you'll get rich, or get saved and you won't have any problems, and get saved and you'll be happy, that's wrong theology. Here's how we ought to say it. Get saved and expect troubles. Get saved and expect adversity. Get saved and expect heartache. Because that's part and parcel. Because the burden only intensifies for the child of God. Because then we start weeping. Then we start having a burden. Then we start caring about people. And it breaks our heart on a daily basis to know where people are gone. God saved us. God saved us to make us like His Son. He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But there's nothing in our life as a Christian that's meaningless. Some things appear to be that way, but really they're not. When the tragedies of this life pile up, one after the other, keep adding to the pile, and we become even broken, weary, and battered, we still, at any point of time, can say, this all is not meaningless. There's a purpose. So you know, in closing today, it's all about the seen, and it's all about the unseen. We're not to look at things that are seen, but we see things that are unseen. I wrote this just a few days ago. We look at things that are seen and know they soon will pass. These things are really transient. We know, and they won't last. Life is a fleeting moment that soon will pass with time. Our grasp on earthly treasures will eventually decline. We look at things which are not seen through eyes with better sight. Our eyes still see with vision through the pale, darkened night. We trust His sacred promise, ceasing fear and needless worry. Afflictions here are seen as light and reap eternal glory. Oh, that eyes were opened more to see what will occur. Too often sight is hampered and our vision very blurred. The walk of sight is shaky, but the walk of faith is sure. The eyes of faith see past this life to heaven's blissful shore. And I want to say today in closing, if you're not a Christian, you are a person with unopened eyes. You are a person who can see nothing but this life. And I would remind you that what you're looking at is temporal. But we that know the Lord today, we look at this life and we know it's passing. But we have a greater hope and a greater joy and a greater promise. And you know what makes the difference? The person of Christ being saved, knowing Him as Savior. I would suspect today there's someone possibly here or someone out there that is a good person, religious, lived a life in church, treated everyone right, been a good neighbor, been a good worker, took care of the family, loved your kids, honest, do not lie, do not steal, don't drink, don't do all those things, but yet you missed the thing that all must do if you go to go to heaven. And that's to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Religion won't get it. Won't cut it. Religion won't do it. You can live the best life possible. That still will not get you a ticket to heaven. You've got to know the one who's the way. Jesus is the way. Do you know the one who's the way to heaven? If you don't know Him, you're in darkness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, here and out there. If you're here, if you're out there, and you're not sure that you've really been saved, I would urge you in these days that we're living, reckless, dangerous, fleeting moments. I would urge every single one of you here and out there to know for sure that you're saved and the ticket's been purchased and you're heading for glory. If you don't know that, what is a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul, the Bible says. You'll leave it all behind. But it pays to know Jesus. If you're here or if you're out there and you're not a Christian, here I would ask you to raise a hand if you're unsaved. If you're unsaved, slip up a hand. Out there I can't see you, but you know who you are. Is there anyone here today that cannot honestly say, I know 100% sure that I'm saved, but I don't know it, but I'd like to know it. Would you pray for me, preacher? Could I see your hand this morning in this service? And while I cannot see you that are watching out there, if you cannot answer that question in the affirmative, knowing for sure you're saved, would you right now bow your head, humble your heart, pray this sinner's prayer from your heart, and I'll help you to pray it, but it must come from your heart to be effectual. You pray, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus paid my sin debt on Calvary. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I trust some have prayed that prayer this morning. If you have, would you please let us know about it? Send a text, email, even a note. We'd like to know for sure about it. But we're going to have an invitation song. Brother Mike, what's the song?
269.
You come while we sing. If you want to come to this altar, come while we sing.